welcome to the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. On this week's episode, we continue the series of Charles de Comfy's presentation taken from the 2013 Adequan USDF Annual Convention. Charles considers changes in modern dressage training and addresses the horse's alignment from hock to bridle.
It's one of the big problems of contemporary riding, that stages are omitted because the horse is talented, and the other one is that nobody understands that the ultimate goal is the seatedness. And that also brings me to the haunches have to amplify the use of the joints when the training is correct. And some riders succeed with almost all of the joints, but they omit the lumbosacral joint, in other words, the point of the croup, and the horses are, in this modern training method, the horses are not asked or encouraged or trained to tilt the pelvis forward, to supple the hips, and to lower the croup and actually flex the lumbosacral joint and be seated and tucked under. And riders pay no attention to the horse articulating with the joints on impaction. So all training with this haste and running is the kind of training carriage horses needed. They ran as fast as because you hurried to the dentist, and they have to run in front of the carriage, and the weight is behind them. They run like hell, and they bounce the croup as high as possible to be able to get with kinetic energy to the dentist office. The riding horse is the opposite. It is to rock back, and of course the ideal end result, the image you could have in mind, is the levade. The entire horse is on two tiny hoofs in the back. The hocks are this far from the ground. There's so much articulation that the hocks are, and the entire tonnage above the two little feet are this deep to the ground, and the horse is not falling over. So the horse, the entire structure is balanced up and forward, no more horizontality. And this miracle means that all joints have been strengthened and elasticized. And what in the energy level is so important to also understand, that we always value, you know, the articulation of the joints that are airborne, because that, of course, riders should be aware of it, because that's the side on which you can aid and stimulate energy. So, but when that same limb is impacting on the ground, it should sink. A well-trained horse sinks to the ground. You see a lot of high-level competition horses with open joints, and they beat the ground, and they drive nails into the boards, so to speak, instead of treading like a cat on stalking a prey. They should sink to the ground and softly rock downward, approaching the floor when they are impacting, to save their joints. If they are still open, training level test one, and hammer the joints on a St. George test, it's not really correct. Can you follow that logic? Mm-hmm. So what we are losing because of the superior breeding of the horse is that you can do this spectacular tilling of the air in the front and say, look how light he is. The devil he is not, because he's walking behind. You know, the front is flipping, but the guy is not supporting his weight from behind. Then, of course, we lose sight that the whole thing should be much slower and much more bowed over the bowstring, which is hock to bridle line. And it's very important because it's not just the hock is the joint that moves the horse from here to there, but the bridle is the termination point of the horse's energy. So the horse's throughness, or being correctly in a correct posture, using his muscles correctly to put the action into the bridle, is a very important concept. And the horse has to do it. Who contacts? The horse, not the rider. What does the horse contact? A piece of metal hanging in his mouth. With what does he contact the bridle? With his hocks, with the joints of energy, not with his mouth. The mouth is for eating and drinking. He connects his energy to a hanging termination point, which is of course controlled by the rider's seat, because if he puts too much contact or energy into it, he should not dislodge the rider. He should draw the rider down into himself. Thereby the rider redefines the center of gravity and he can strike into it with his haunches and reshape his bow to lightness. Yeah, it's a process. And the focus of it is the rider's seat. So then we can have no bit but terminate on maybe a hackamore or a nosebend or something. Then why do we have this bit and all that thing? We found it more efficient in emergencies, which should maybe never come in a horse's life, but if it does come, the bit is a more powerful unit with you can use to, again, to strengthen your seat, because when you press the bit or the horse presses it, it should wedge you into his back stronger. So it's a seat authority through the extension of the rein, but it's a seat authority. So this is one reason, but the most important reason is that the reins, with the help of the bridle, are the paramount instrument in the alignment of the horse. So straighten your horse to ride it forward. The straightening part of that sentence is all about the rein, because the alignment of the horse is not simple, because it's three things. You have to align the horse's spinal position over the pattern on which he moves, evenly bent. So functionally straight horse on a 20-meter circle is, of course, bent. That's why we call him straight, because the alignment is on the curvature of his traction. Number two, the hind legs have to support the center of gravity evenly. On most horses, right hind leg crosses like a leg yield, long, towards the left front, huge mistake. Left hind leg is short and stressed. You have to ride until he's ambidextrous and totally even. Number three, the hind leg has to strike in the direction of corresponding front, not to the center, or not sideways. And this directional alignment, the spinal alignment, and the evenness of the hind legs are all dependent on your rein and your rein contact and what you do with it to encourage the horse's even bending from pole to tail. So that's why we want the bridle, because on a hackamore or any other apparatus, you could not align the hind legs that correctly. Mm. So that's the instrument. Yeah. We are already talking about it. Dressage training changed a lot. And actually, of course, everything is improving. So we already said the horses are unbelievably improved. I mean, this could not be even imagined in decades earlier, what we have now as available horses. And with it, in a way, everything judging and teaching also, I think, is much better. And the challenges are different and much more sophisticated, because in the good old days, no horses went even in longitudinal flexion, in other words, on the bit and trueness, so riders really didn't have access to the haunches in those years when the struggle was just to have a horse in the correct position or the correct posture to ride. And now, of course, that's a done deal. There's nothing to worry about. But now we have the luxury to only bother with the sophistication of how much we get in collection, in the ability to shift the weight towards the haunches. Because ultimately, the goal of all riding is to get the maximum performance from any horse, again, random nature to art. Whatever your horse genetically is offering, you should be able to develop it into full bloom. This is the overall goal. But on the way to achieve this goal, the sub-goals are collection, as much weight to the haunches as possible. Is it also in the extended trot? Yes, the extended trot should be collected. This sounds like an idiot, a game on words. If the extended trot falls to the forehand and the haunches cannot overstrike the footprint of the forehand, you are not in an extended trot. You are in a run. So is the extended trot collected? Yes, everything in correct riding, everything is collected. The horse is always on his haunches. The word for this is engaged. Engagement, of course, has five meanings, but one of which is that he remains consistently in self-carriage with the majority of the weight in the haunches and no longer on the forehand. So that's one definition of engagement. So we train for engagement, and from it, one of the spectacular results is increased suspension. So the horse travels over space through the air, not by pulling himself on the floor. Yeah? So he's not crawling forward or out of balance. He makes a touch down, an impaction on the ground, so precise and so schooled that from that small bounce against the ground, he can float in elegant suspension a longer distance. So minimum effort to maximum performance comes from skills and strength. That's another purpose of training. And all of this has to go through a liquid structure of the horse. So when the horse trots or canters or does anything, he has to do it in his entirety and not with his legs only and the body left out of it. So when a horse in his entirety is engaged in minimum effort to maximum performance, which is visible as collection and suspension, you got your Grand Prix horse. These are the goals. Where did you hear as one of the goals to run like hell? I haven't heard that. I went to riding school 4 years. They never said, yeah, when the horse has 209 different trots, there are two trots out of that that are fast. So your coach might say, push the fast button on this slug today, yeah? But then it's a choice. It's not chasing the horse from morning till night. And what happens is the more they hold the front and the more they agitate the haunches, the higher the butt bounces. So they all become butt bouncers. Instead of the horse crouching, so the horse is supposed to, you know, tilt pelvis forward and sink, and the tail lower and the whole structure to, you know, raise the front. Instead of that, The horse is being agitated as if against a wall, I mean the strong hands. So he's kicked, so he dances higher in the butter. So you see the silhouette of the horse coming on whatever, 20 meter circle or something, Grand Prix horse. And the back is hollowed, a hammock, the buttocks is up, the pole is up, huge front, and the hind end, short stepping. How many times did you observe the footprints of the hind legs relative to the front legs? Medium trot, understriding. Is this a medium trot? Of course not. But you look at the scoreboard, 7 and 8. Yeah, this is a butt-bouncing horse. This delivered the big trot with the hind end back in the box stall. Didn't support anything. So the judge should give it a much lower score.
The concluding part of this series will be featured in episode 10 next week. Charles de Comfy is a 2013 inductee to the USDF Roma Hall of Fame. Visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education, to watch videos from this convention and other USDF events at usdf.org. The USDF official podcast is also available for download on iTunes. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.